You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by our good friends over there at Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We want to find out if you are buying into this hype about a first rounder. Also reports in that the Browns dined with wide receiver Breshad Perriman from University of Central Florida last night down in Orlando. Some interesting stuff there. Folks, if you want to join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns backers, join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. 216-578-0850. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. Ellis in Orlando, welcome to the show. What's up, Ellis?
Glad to have you on. You know, really quick, man, I think I'm okay with adding a couple playmakers in the first two draft picks, whether it be Gurley or a stud wide receiver. But let me ask you, if we did that, who's in that second tier of second rounders as far as nose tackle to address the need that would replace, for instance, the Danny Shelton type guy?
So let's start with one thing. Yeah, let's start first of all. So you're okay drafting a running back in the first round. You don't think that the Browns are in a good spot at that position with Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell?
You know what? If I look at a guy like Gurley, who brings a couple of different dimensions, you can get him catching out of the backfield and running. The dude's a beast. So I don't buy into how hurt everybody thinks he is. I've watched him play. I think I'd be okay with it.
All right.
We don't have enough playmakers, I don't think.
So that second tier of guys you're talking about, if you didn't get a Danny Shelton, would be number one would probably be Eddie Goldman from Florida State, Malcolm Brown,
Jordan Phillips.
Okay. Jordan Phillips, the nose tackle out of Oklahoma. Carl Davis out of Iowa is a big 320-pounder as well. He's a little bit older, but those are the guys that kind of fit into that second level in terms of big run-stopping interior defensive linemen.
Now, would he be available, you know, with that second round pick? Would those guys be available?
Eddie Goldman possibly could be there at 43. I think Jordan Phillips would be there at 43. He's got that back issue now that people are starting to get worried about. But yeah, I think that those guys, you'd have a shot at one of those guys there at 43. Certainly at 19, Eddie Goldman would be there if you went playmaker at 12.
Right. Well, you know, either way it goes, man, I'm in till the casket drop. And you know what? And as far as the Cavs are concerned, sometimes you got to punch the bully in the face. Cleveland is not to be had like that. And I think once we do get through this series with the Bulls, it's going to be tough, but it's only going to make us stronger. So I'm all in, guys. Cleveland fan, till the casket drops, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Ellis in Orlando, our guy down there. And as I said earlier, the Browns were down in Orlando. Apparently, General Manager Ray Farmer having dinner with Breshad Perriman, a wide receiver who some people, Greg Cosell, in addition, believes could be the best wide receiver in this draft class.
Yeah.
He doesn't catch the ball well. I think that's such an important piece.
That is such an important piece. I don't care how fast. You know what? And the guys that come to mind is like a Darius Hayward Bay, you know, drafted, I think, top six by the Oakland Raiders out of the University of Maryland. Speedster, fast guy, couldn't catch a cold out there, you know. Was never the playmaker they thought he could be, and has bounced around since he left Oakland. And that's just also, too, is as you look at players who test extremely well, the Raiders have done it with Al Davis as their owner forever. He wants the big, he wants the tough, he wants the fast, he wants the freaks.
Yep.
Well, that didn't really transfer over to a lot of winning football, you know, when he was making those kind of decisions. And I just think there are players around Breshad Perriman who are so much more fine-tuned, who played at a higher level of football, too, and maybe don't run 4-2, you know, but run 4-4, but are just more of a complete player and someone you can rely on immediately and consistently, as opposed to only being in the game when you're going to run those deep routes. That's a dead giveaway to most defenses.
All right, you got to be a polished route runner, polished receiver. The Browns have apparently had visits with Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker, dinner with Breshad Perriman. They met with Kevin White before his pro day. They have been doing a lot of work at the wide receiver position, and there are guys, you know, a lot of them in this draft once again. Let's go to Wade in Canton now. Wade, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan. How are you guys doing? Hi, Matt.
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing well. Hey, absolutely, I would say Todd Gurley. I just think he would open up a different dynamic coming out of the backfield. And with, you know,
we didn't get to see, for the record, I think Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West are both underrated pass catchers. We never got to see it. last year. They did not allow – Kyle Shanahan's offense did not throw the football to the running backs at all, and that's something that in Flip's offense, you're going to see a lot of utilization of the running backs as pass catchers.
Well, absolutely. You know, the only thing is, you know, their trust factor in West. You know, he's put on the bench, you know, for practice, you know, not going hard at it, practice, you know, putting the ball on the ground. Hopefully, you know, he shored those up. But can you imagine, what would you think, Nathan, in your opinion, on, would you move Crowell to a fullback?
No.
If you drafted Todd Gurley?
No, absolutely not. I think it would be a statement, I think, maybe that they're concerned with Terrence West off the field if they draft a guy like Todd Gurley, or they just think he's that much better. No. Isaiah Crowell is not a fullback. Isaiah Crowell is a very explosive, talented halfback, and I think he's a guy that has an opportunity to be a very good player for this team if given the opportunity to do so.
And also, too, simply because, you know, Gurley has come a few years after Isaiah Crowell at the University of Georgia. They're cut essentially from the same cloth. They're both fast. They're both physical. They can put their cleats in the ground and make those big plays.
Crow was the number one high school prospect that year.
And SEC freshman of the year.
And was the SEC freshman of the year. Off the field things derailed Crow. You got a guy that is insanely talented in Isaiah Crowell, and he fell because of off the field things. He has gotten his life together. He's got a child. He's living. He is a guy that seems to get it and has turned everything around and is now focused on being the best player he can be for the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. And something people on Twitter are saying, absolutely, if RTJ rule says the Browns dare draft a running back round one, my season tickets go back. That's a promise. Papa Giorgio 19 says, I think West has some personality issues, too flamboyant. You don't see Crow on Instagram, but we know he's putting in work. Were those suggesting Browns pick a number one running back in the first round? Also enamored with Trent Richardson and his bogus hype then? I wasn't. Hated that pick. Roger the Good says, absolutely not. Murray, Charles Foster, none were first rounders. Neither was LeSean McCoy. He was a second rounder also.
You're right.
P. Myers Golf says, kudos to Trader Ray. Mariota, the trade rumors there. Gordon, Perryman, Gurley rumors all swirling. Impressive, but not what we will do. He's working the phones, as he likes to say. And here's one, another one. Browns must use round one picks to build out, not make luxury picks. If Beasley drops to 12, take him, and right side O-line at 19. And finally, Justin, 0917, says, feed the crow. Number 12, Danny Shelton. Number 19, Nelson Agholor, the wide receiver who's climbing a lot of boards. Good things will happen. They will play like a Brown. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville now. Phil, welcome to the show.
Nathan, Matt, enjoy the show a lot.
Thank you.
You know, there's two people that I don't really want to hear another word of, and it's just actions speak louder than words. And the first one is obviously Johnny, but the second is Ray Farmer. You know, I've been listening and following the Browns since the 1970s, and I'm just tired of listening to him. You know, it's like he's trying to learn how to be a general manager and trying to do things that other general managers take for granted. He's always trying to pull something over on people, and he's always trying to tell us, hey, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. I can do that. You know, all that to me is childish, honestly. I want him to do what he's supposed to do. I want him to shut up, and I want him to make draft picks. And then I want him to speak to us like men, not like boys.
That's true. And you know what? Ray gets his second shot and his first full year.
I still think overall Ray Farmer did a good job last year.
Yeah.
I think he improved the roster. That's what general manager is supposed to do, make the roster better. And then he's made the roster better again this year. He's got another draft. The first round last year is what people focus on. And rightly so. You need to hit your first round picks. I think the jury is still very much out on both Johnny and Justin. I think their first years were huge disappointments. But in terms of the number of guys that came in that contributed from that rookie class last year,
yes,
it's still very impressive. You got Joel Bitonio would be a first rounder if you did the draft over again and was the only guy that was like basically rookie all pro in every possible area. You had, you know, Chris Kirksey came in and gave you solid time at inside linebacker.
Tackles, yeah.
You got a very productive season out of Terrence West. You got a very productive season out of Isaiah Crowell, who was undrafted. Taylor Gabriel made big contributions, who was also an undrafted player for your team. Kaywan Williams, an undrafted player, did very well for your team. And, of course, Pierre Desir, when given the opportunity, played well. So I think other than the first two picks, everybody that was brought in as a rookie did a very good job, and you enhance the overall talent and makeup of this team. He's got to do it again this year, and all the eyes, just like in football, quarterbacks probably get more credit for success and more blame for failure than they deserve for a team game. General managers' first-round picks are going to get more attention than they deserve when they're good and probably more attention when they deserve when they're bad.
100%. And the whole point that I was going to make is this is Ray Farmer's second opportunity, his first actual full year with his entire staff, you know, going out and drafting for the Cleveland Browns. And I know that if Ray Farmer goes and has an A draft and has some knocks a few out of the park, he'll be able to blow those smoke screens and still go up there and talk however he wants to talk because he's adding value to this roster. And as long as those players turn into actual game players on Sunday and performers and they turn into victories, Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, can say and do whatever he wants.
And that's the prerogative of the job. Don't forget, last year he also got you a first-round pick for this year. So that's the reason that you have two again this season. So that is good. I don't think, and a lot of people are saying, here's another one. Jay Rowland says, West and Crow are great. Until today, we've never heard about us drafting another running back. I think Gurley is a smokescreen so they can move down. I don't think they get Shelton, and they know they can get value there. I'm okay. Listen, I don't think you need that running back there. I truly believe in year two, and in talking to Wilbur Montgomery and other sources around the league, people actually don't look at the running back position around the National Football League of the Browns as being a weak spot. They look at them as having two guys who can be very, very talented, very, very young, and that most people would agree that outside of a guy like a Barry Sanders and some of the best running backs in the league, it's your system and your offensive line that make great running backs great.
Absolutely. And then also, too, as we've already heard from John DeFilippo, the fact that those running backs will be used out of the backfield. So
I think that's huge.
When we don't have an opportunity and things aren't going really well, you know, grinding it out as we seem to do time and time again in Kyle Shanahan's offense, create an opportunity to get your ball, the ball to one of your playmakers out of the backfield in space with those dominant offensive linemen out in front of them via screens, via smoke screens, you know, motioning them out of the backfield, using them, you know, as a threat, which is what they should be. Everybody else does it. Why can't we? And that's how what the one thing that I thought lacked all last season is, unless they were in the dot, which is the position lined up, you know, 8 yards deep behind the quarterback, and we were going to run a zone, was the only time our running backs were a threat.
And there were so many plays where the running backs would go out in their pass patterns and defenses just stopped covering them because they knew they weren't getting the ball.
Yeah, and a lot of times we'd roll left and they'd be out in a route right, and Brian Hoyer, you know, whoever was the quarterback last year, wouldn't even, you know, get there. They're their fifth progression. They'd have to come all the way back across the field just to throw them the football when that should be right in front of your face, and that's your safe. That's your safety outlet. You just, boom, drop it. I mean, I had fits covering LaDainian Tomlinson in practice because of how great he was at getting out into a route and finding that vision point for his quarterback. That if he didn't have his first read, didn't have a second read, and that pocket starts to close, boom, I'm going to give it to the best player on the football field, you know, to turn around and make a move on a linebacker in space.
Yeah, and it was easy, and that's why LaDainian was so successful for all those years, and your offense was so successful for all those years in San Diego because he was a true dual threat back. This is an interesting question. Browns Fan 42 says, Farmer, let's say Farmer goes in and takes the best player available. Let's say Todd Gurley is the sixth rated player on the Browns board. Do you then take him at number 12, even though he's a running back?
No.
You don't.
I do not.
I don't either.
And I'll just say this because we've been having this talk since the Senior Bowl about Danny Shelton. I think there's so much – I want to see Danny Shelton in a Browns uniform. Obviously, we heard the comments last week that you know, the word is out that Danny Shelton wants to be a Cleveland Brown, which is all fine and good. Whether it becomes reality or not, we'll find out in about 4 days. But I feel like if we don't get Danny Shelton at 12 or 19, it's like a lot can happen, and we can go so many different avenues, whether it's – wide receiver, pass rusher, you know, defensive tackle, the second defensive tackle, not Danny Shelton. You know, there's so many different avenues that open up if we don't get Danny Shelton at 12 that, you know, let's just hope. We have to be true to our board, and anything can happen in front of us.
Except if it's a running back, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
216-578-0850 still to come on this show. Isaiah Crowell, the Browns' young rookie, second-year running back coming off of a rookie season. Historic in many ways. The Browns, the first team to have two running backs over 600 yards rushing in the same season as rookies since the Chargers back in the mid-60s. So it's been about 50 years, ladies and gentlemen. Zagar and Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl and Brewery, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Draft week is here. Who's your favorite draft guru? Who's the guy whose rankings you like the best? Who's the guy whose mock drafts you like the best? Let us know. Call us up, CBD, right after this. Yeah.